This is a Triple M Footy podcast. With all the latest news and stories that matter right now in footy, it's Tom Brown's news.
Good afternoon, an intriguing weekend of football. I want to discuss some of the implications and talking points from the weekend, just from a general footy perspective at the end of this podcast, but I'll get straight into the news off the top. Patrick Cripps obviously being reviewed by the match review officer Michael Christian and the AFL today. In my view, looking at that incident, Cripps is heading for 2 weeks out for that bump on Archie. Clearly, the AFL are looking at issues like whether the hands are out and whether there's a genuine attempt to contest the ball. In this instance, there wasn't from Cripps, and it looked like his feet were even off the ground. So the issue then becomes what sort of duty of care Cripps had in that circumstance, and I think it will be graded as careless high and high, and Cripps will be looking at 2 weeks out. It's got all the hallmarks of the sort of thing that Carlton would obviously take to the tribunal. They might, for example, argue that Cripps is going for the mark. We know that he's one of the most fair players in the competition, but as is Stewart, and you can only judge the action, not the player itself, in his circumstance. Clearly, you'd like to take into consideration those types of things and, you know, considering Cripps' favour, but I think this is pretty cut and dry from the duty of care perspective and electing to bump under the 2022 tribunal guidelines, which are quite clear that if you elect to bump, you take into account these things that you take into account, I guess, the outcome and take on that risk. So I think Patrick Cripps is headed for 2 weeks out. In terms of the impact, it's very difficult to argue it would be medium, not high, because obviously Archie was concussed. So Patrick Cripps, that will be devastating for the Blues and devastating for Cripps, who, as I mentioned, is an incredibly fair player, one of the fairest in the competition. I'm sure he didn't set out to bump. He was probably going for the mark initially, but he got himself into a bit of a pickle, and you can only judge the actual action, I think, in the end, not the outcome. So that's how I think the tribunal will look at it. Having said all that, I don't know. They're going to look at it this afternoon, so we'll know for certain tonight. But I think that Cripps is looking at 2 weeks. A massive blow for the Blues. They've got Melbourne and Collingwood coming up. They're a game and a little bit of percentage above St Kilda, Carlton, which is obviously a benefit. St Kilda's got Brisbane and Sydney coming up, so you wouldn't back St Kilda, I guess, in either of those games. The Bulldogs, though, have got the Giants and Hawthorn. So the Bulldogs are the big danger, obviously, as far as Carlton's concerned now. As I mentioned, Carlton with Melbourne and Collingwood coming up to absolutely huge contests as far as the Blues' chances for finals this year. Carlton were disappointing yesterday against Brisbane, in my view. They were 57 points down at one stage. They scored a few goals in the last quarter. Admittedly, it was an in-effect junk time. I don't think Brisbane was ever going to lose that game. I noticed that Walsh spent some time on Neil. I know you've got to shut down Neil. I'm not a coach, but I thought it was defensive in an aspect, because obviously they were missing Hewitt, and it took their best midfielder and put it on Neil, and I thought that sort of, I guess, negated the effect of Walsh. Anyway, they'll all be discussion points this week, but Cripps looking at 2 weeks.
This is Tom Brown's news, bringing you the latest in footy every Monday, Thursday and Friday. Hear it first on Listener.
Patrick Dangerfield, the Geelong star, didn't play a late out on Saturday. He's had scans. Danger this morning has taken part in their light session. I think it was more precautionary that he was taken out of the game with that calf issue, but clearly he's had soft tissue issues this year. Geelong specifically tried to get him fit and in a training block for the finals. If Danger has had a actual calf setback, that's going to be a huge blow for the Cats, who, let's face it, can probably cover him because they're playing such good football at the moment. But Danger at this stage, I'm led to believe, thinks that's more of a precautionary situation, has had scans this morning. We'll have the latest on Danger certainly through our social channels this afternoon and on 7 News tonight.
Bringing you the latest in footy news before you hear it anywhere else. This is Tom Brown's news.
Buddy Franklin, a massive story over the weekend. His manager revealed on Saturday morning that Franklin had officially put off talks until post-season. Buddy wants to obviously concentrate on his football and needs to make a decision with his family at the end of the year. Buddy said in his statement, "At this stage, conversations have paused around my contract, so I can put all the focus on playing footy. No further comment will be made until the season is done and I've decided about my future. I'm still undecided." This is the crucial bit, I think. "I'm still undecided and need time after the season to make a family decision about whether I continue to play next year." The Swans' Andrew Pridham spoke to me in response to that and strongly supported Buddy's position, explaining that it's a very important decision for Buddy, for his family, and indeed for the Swans. And clearly the Swans and Buddy are in total agreement over this approach and want to maximise the next 6 weeks of footy. I mean, Buddy went to the Swans to win a flag. That's what they're all about, and they're, based on yesterday in their ladder position, a genuine chance. So Buddy and the Swans in alignment over this approach. Just in terms of some insight on what's happening, it's my strong impression from investigations that there's no evidence at this stage of another side being involved. I know there was some discussion about Brisbane last week. I think that's definitely premature at this stage. Sydney is supportive, as I mentioned. They want to maximise the next 6 weeks. Buddy obviously wants to do that as well. Look, the fact of the matter is that Buddy could retire and he could indeed move to Queensland next year, but he hasn't got standard football management. He's got more of an entertainment-based manager, and obviously his wife, Jacinta, is a huge help assisting, and he'll have a lot of different factors and ideas in his head and clearly just wants to maximise the next 6 weeks or so. So I think that Buddy wants to consider all those things and work out his position at the end of the season, which is what he's doing.
The Saturday Rub, Friday Huddle, Sunday Rub, Midweek Rub, Tom Brown's News and all the footy podcasts you need are in one place. Subscribe to Triple M Footy on the Listener app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Collingwood headed for the top four, particularly if they can beat one of Sydney and then Carlton in the next 2 weeks. It sets Collingwood up on this incredible run which they've created for themselves. 11 wins in a row. It's somewhat of the fairy tale of the season. Jordan Dugowie had 25 touches and 9 clearances in a side that struggled for clearances in some sections of the second half of the year on Friday night. I mentioned post-game there'll be debate this week about whether Collingwood should re-sign him. The Herald Sun's spoken about that today as well. I don't have any inside mail on what Collingwood's going to do in that circumstance. On one hand, clearly they want to incentivise Dugowie not to do anything because he's incentivised at the moment, whether he stays at Collingwood or not, to play good football, and that's a benefit to Collingwood. And if he stayed, I'd suggest there'd need to be strong alignment within the club from all the various stakeholders on supporting him to stay, because that hasn't always necessarily been the case. Even some of the male players at the start of the year perhaps had some concerns in regards to Dugowie's behaviour. So anyway, that's one for Collingwood. No visibility yet this week on what they'll do, but Craig McRae did say post-game, in a bit of a declaration of sorts in terms of his position, he's the coach, clearly wants Dugowie. He does support Dugowie being part of the club, which I thought was very significant post-game.
This is Tom Brown's News, bringing you the latest in footy every Monday, Thursday and Friday. Here at First on Listener.
It's worth recapping some of the huge discussion points from the results over the weekend. Just talk about some footy for a sec. Ed Langdon, well, he came out and said the Collingwood were one-trick ponies. They look like multiple-trick Melbourne Cup winners in the end. They were very, very good, particularly in the second half. Melbourne upset on Friday night. It's going to be interesting as far as Melbourne's top four hopes are concerned. You could tell, I was in the press conference, how disappointed Simon Goodwin was post-game. The Bulldogs went down to Fremantle. They had everything on the line, the Bulldogs. They're still in top eight contention. It was interesting. The Dockers were too good in the end. Richmond just continue to get the job done. I know Collingwood, I've spoken to some players, rate Richmond as one of the best sides they've played this year. They got the job done against Port Richmond to remain firmly in top eight contention, despite obviously still not having Dusty. They're incredible, the Tigers. They just keep going. And I thought North showed a bit yesterday against the Swans. I know the Swans won convincingly in the end, but if I was Alistair Clarkson, I would have looked at North's performance yesterday, particularly Larky and a range of players, and thought, geez, there's a bit to work with there. They were okay, I thought, North yesterday, all things considered, especially considering that Sydney are genuine premiership contenders. And there'll be a lot of debate, obviously, about Carlton's performance yesterday against the Lions. There was some pressure on the Lions to respond. They did. They won convincingly. So that was a good performance, obviously, up there, but a good performance for the Lions and a huge boost for their top four chances. Just one off-field, Paramount, the television company, and Ten have come out over the weekend and in the press day, the Fairfax Press, and said they're not really huge contenders for the AFL rights, TV rights, which is interesting. There's been a lot of discussion about whether they'd make a huge bid in terms of their pay TV and their streaming and all the rest of it. It doesn't sound like that's going to be the case. That's an interesting one for the AFL and whether they'll get a huge, huge figure for the TV deal. But that continues to be worked on behind the scenes. Thanks so much for joining the podcast today, highlighted, I think, by the Patrick Cripps situation. I think he's headed for 2 weeks out, which is a massive blow for the Blues and indeed Cripps. I'll be back on Thursday for all the latest news. Triple M rocks football.
That was Tom Brown's News. Come back every Monday, Thursday and Friday for more and subscribe to Triple M Footy on Listener or wherever you listen to get all our podcasts throughout the season. For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.